Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am nearing the end of a series that I've been on for a month talking about the fear of the Lord. And I tell you, this has really blessed me. I know it's stirred up a lot of things. I'm probably going to get a lot of criticism. I believe I'll also get a lot of compliments and people agreeing with this. It's just time that somebody stand up and unapologetically say that I believe that God is real, that God is right, His standards are right, our relative standards of morality is wrong. And also, somebody needs to say it in a way that they aren't condemning people and beat people down. You know, I will grant this, that one of the reasons that I think that there has been a backlash and that we are becoming increasingly secular and that the church is having less of an input in our societies is because the church has been abusive. And I'm saying church here, talking about the whole thing. There's always been a certain group of people who were truly in relationship with God and walking in the love and the grace of God. But I think as a whole, and I'll talk specifically about America and about Europe, I've been over there a lot, but in those cultures, I think that the church was very legalistic and condemning and manipulative and oppressive. And because of that, there's been a backlash. I remember going to a quote-unquote Christian church in India that was covered with gold. I mean, it was millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of gold in that place. And right outside, there were beggars, people dying. I remember the place that I stayed at, it had people five and six abreast sleeping on the sidewalks. And in the morning, I'd look out and they'd be coming by and putting the dead into wheelbarrows and just hauling them off. The poverty and the hurt and the pain in India was unbelievable. In the midst of it, there was a quote-unquote Christian church, which I don't think there was much Christian about it, that was taking this money and just spending this money on opulent things. Now, you know what? That is nothing but religion, and that's not true Christianity. And likewise, the church as a whole has been very condemning, and they haven't separated hating the sin from hating the sinner. And because of that, I think that there is a backlash in Western culture to the oppressiveness of the way that the church, the Catholic Church primarily, used to dominate and control. And so there's been a backlash that has gone the other way. But like the old saying goes, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Even though there were abuses, and religion has certainly caused a lot of problems in this world, there is a truth in Christianity and the Bible that as people have turned away from maybe this abusive type of religion, they have also turned away from the truth and the morality that was presented in the Word. And because of that, that's the reason that wars and all of these things are happening. You know, we have more effort being made in these days to prevent wars. We have all of these organizations. We have sanctions. We have groups of nations that have gone together, and we're doing all of these things, and yet wars are just rampant. And not only between nations, but between people, the divorce, the hatred, the strife, it just is out of control. And the reason is because you can't just use something physical to restrain these things. The root of the problem isn't this group of people that's been abused and this person who's done this. The root of the problem is our own hearts and our own depraved nature, our own sinful nature. You cannot conquer something outside of yourself if you can't conquer yourself. And people aren't conquering themselves. They aren't able to rein in their own lust and their own desires because they've thrown God and morality out the window. And because of it, that has emboldened and released this. And you're just destined to have more and more and more problems in society as we become more and more secular. There's people that would argue with that, but I guarantee you, you can't argue with history. And history has shown that when there is a fear of God, it restrains sin. Or let me quote some scriptures. I already read some of these yesterday. It says in Psalms 36:1, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." If there was a fear of God, the transgression would at least be diminished. Proverbs 16:6, it says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." The fear of the Lord causes people not to live in sin. If people are living in sin, which they are, and they're becoming more brazen with it all of the time, it's because there is not a fear of the Lord. And you can argue that any way you want to. You can come back and try and justify it, but this is what the Word says. This is observable in our history. And I don't think that there is a good argument against it. You might be able to argue that, well, look what religion has done, and you go back to religion, and I admit that there have been wars fought in the name of the Lord. Some of the things that were done in the name of the Crusades were just terrible and atrocities. But you know what? That's not true Christianity. That is religion. And I have no arguments with criticizing and condemning religion. But true Christianity, biblical Christianity, as taught in the Word of God, is the salvation of our societies. It's not the problem of our society. It's what saves it. You go to people who are godly people, and you're still going to have problems because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. But the problems will be diminished a million times over. And I'm not talking about just religion. I'm talking about Bible Christianity. If you go to some of these other religions that teach jihad and teach hatred and teach that women are the property of men and that you can kill them if you don't like the way that they cooked your food, that is not true Christianity. That is religion, and that's a part of the problem. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about biblical Christianity is the answer to society, and where it prevails, there is godliness. You know, again, all of these things are somewhat relative because I go to third world countries, and even though there's still sin and corruption in the United States, I'm not trying to present it that we are a very godly and moral place. I think that the morals of America are probably as bad as they've ever been. So I'm not sitting here closing my eyes to the problems, but I am saying that because of the roots of this nation and the background that this nation has had, that even at our decay right now and at the place we're at right now, it is still better than many nations on the face of the earth where lying and graft and bribes is the norm. I mean, that happens in the United States. That happens in Great Britain, but not to the same degree that it happens in third world countries where you can't get anything done unless you pay somebody off, unless you bribe people. And that's just woven into the fabric of these nations. You know why? Because they weren't founded on a godly Christian heritage. I tell you, the fear of the Lord that comes from teaching true Christianity, not a hatred for the sinner, but a hatred for the sin, is a restraint to evil. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 11, this is Abraham speaking, and he said, "Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake." And this is talking about when Abraham went to Gerar, and Abimelech, the king there, liked Abraham's wife. At this time, she was around 90 or 91 years old. And she was still so beautiful that he was afraid somebody was going to kill him to get to his wife. He did this when she was in her 70s. Here is the second time that he did this. And because of this, he said, "She's my sister instead of my wife." And so he allowed Abimelech to take Sarah into his harem. And he didn't have sexual relationships with her, but he had planned on doing it. He had planned on making her one of his wives. And the Lord appeared unto him in a series of dreams and told him, "You are but a dead man because that is another man's wife." And this ungodly king, he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't in tune with the true God, but he did believe in the existence of God, worship multiple gods. And when this God appeared to him in a dream, the fear of the Lord came upon him, and he came to Abraham and he says, "What possessed you? Why would you lie about this woman and say she was your sister when the truth is that she's your wife?" And this was Abraham's response. He says, "Because I thought the fear of the Lord is not in this place, and they will kill me to get to my wife." So this is Abraham saying that, you know what, when people have a fear of the Lord, you can walk in safety. You can walk the streets at night. But when you don't have a fear of God, then things change. You know, when I was a kid, you could leave your doors open. We hardly ever locked our house. We never locked our car. You didn't have to worry about people stealing things. Not because there weren't people who were crooks, but it was the exception. And I mean a very small percentage. But the more you become secular, the more you try and get away from God and believe we just evolved and that we aren't answerable to anybody, now you can't put enough locks on your car and on your house. And you're a fool if you leave your doors open because somebody will take advantage of you. And you know why? Because the fear of the Lord isn't as dominant in our society as it used to be. The fear of the Lord causes people to depart from evil. And so this is a biblical answer to our societal problems. Is it because we need more Democrats or more Republicans? Because we need this? We need more laws? We need more money thrown at the problem? The bottom line is we need the fear of the Lord. And if we had the fear of the Lord, that would take care of things. There has been poverty all along, and yet poverty has not caused people to become crooks and thieves and murderers and rapists. And I tell you, people are trying to come up with reasons why things are happening, but they will not face the fact that it's the fear of the Lord that causes people to depart from evil. And they won't confront that because that wouldn't be secular. That would be factoring God and faith into it. And they don't want to believe that we have a spiritual part of us. They want to believe that we're no different than a dog. We're just an evolved animal that operates and responds to stimuli. And it all depends on what our environment was, and that determines things. So therefore, if we go change the environment and get rid of poverty and start doing certain things, we can solve this. But they would never sit there and say, if people were moral, and if we had two parents in a home raising the children, if they had looked at the statistics, the people that are raised in a home where there's two parents, a male and a female, not two females, not two males that are have a civil union, but if you weren't biased and prejudiced, if you would be honest, and if you look at the statistics where a godly home is, the statistics show that children have a 10 times, 100 times, I don't know, but it's exponential, much greater chance of growing up and being a productive member of society and not going into drug abuse and alcohol abuse and not murdering and killing and plundering. It's not just financial. It's not just these carnal, secular things. It's moral issues. It's the fear of the Lord that causes people to grow up and become contributing members of society instead of the problem of society. And yet people won't face that. We are trying to get away from this. We don't like to talk about the fear of the Lord, and that's the very reason that I'm doing it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." The fear of God will cause you to live a holy life. If you were to take this in context, remember 2 Corinthians 7, 1 says, "Having therefore these promises." When you see the word therefore, you're supposed to look and see what it's there for. If you were to back up into 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you can read where it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has light with darkness and Christ with Belial, or he that believes with an infidel? Come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and be separate, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters." These are the promises that he's talking about. Promises of recognizing that there is right and wrong, and abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. and separate yourself from the ungodliness. Don't embrace it. If we would do these things, then we will perfect holiness in the fear of God. You know, let me use some scriptures over here out of 2 Peter chapter 2. And this is talking about Lot. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 6, I'm breaking right into the middle of this teaching. It says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot." That doesn't mean only Lot, but it's talking about just or righteous Lot. "And delivered this righteous man, Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Lot, the scripture says, was a righteous man. He was a person that was in relationship with God. But because iniquity abounded, his love towards God waxed cold. And you know what? He compromised. You know what he compromised? It was basically because of the rich grass that was in that area down in the Jordan Valley, right as it emptied into the Dead Sea, before it turned to the Dead Sea, before this destruction polluted and corrupted that entire area. It was like the Garden of Eden is what it says. And Lot had a lot of cattle, a lot of sheep, and he went down to this area because it was very advantageous for his herds. It was a financial decision. But the people there were exceedingly wicked. And as we know from Genesis chapter 19, where God rained fire and brimstone down out of heaven and killed all of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah because of their ungodliness, those people were wicked and the whole place was given over to ungodliness. And yet he compromised his convictions, and instead of coming out from among them and being separate, like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he entered in because it was financially beneficial to him, and I'm sure he thought that he could make it. But this scripture says he vexed his righteous soul. That's talking about, that's a terminology of witchcraft, that he tormented himself. He allowed Satan to have access to him through seeing and hearing the unlawful deeds. Lot himself didn't participate, and yet his heart was affected. Jesus said it this way, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And this is happening in our society today. There are people that you yourself may not go out here and participate in this sin, but you become insensitive to it. You've gotten to where you don't hate it anymore. You don't have a fear of the Lord. You can tolerate it. Matter of fact, you watch the same stuff that your unsaved neighbors watch, that your unsaved family watches. You use the same adultery and lying and stealing and perversion for entertainment that the ungodly do. And that's vexing your righteous soul, and it'll cost you. Did you know that Lot lost two of his daughters who were married to people in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? It doesn't say the exact number. It said he went out and spoke to his daughters, plural, so we know that there was at least two, and yet they wouldn't listen to him. And the husbands and possibly his grandkids stayed in Sodom and Gomorrah and died as it was destroyed. And then his two daughters and wife, who were still at home with him, they came out, and the angels were merciful unto them, but his wife turned around and longed for and looked at the home that she was leaving, all of her priceless things. And when she did, she turned into a pillar of salt, so he lost his wife. And then his two daughters that were raised in this ungodly situation. And remember that these scriptures here in 2 Peter chapter 2 says Lot was a righteous man. And I'm sure he told his daughters the right thing, but because of the environment that they were brought up in, that ungodliness dominated them, and they actually got their father drunk, and then they each committed incest with him and became pregnant by their own father. So he lost his two daughters who lived. He lost his two daughters, sons-in-law, and possibly grandchildren who were destroyed, and he lost his wife who turned into a pillar of salt. You know, there's many people today that the fear of the Lord isn't the dominant thing in their life. If they get an opportunity for a job promotion, they evaluate everything only on, well, this is going to mean this much more money. We can get a bigger house, a bigger car. We can have our fifth flat screen TV. And they look at things only on an economic, physical plane. And maybe they've got a church that they're in that is really nurturing, and they have their best friends there. Their kids are lined up with godly kids, godly influences. But because of money, they'll turn away from all of that and move to a city and just suppose that they can find the same thing, that they can reproduce a good church and good friends for their kids. And it often doesn't turn out that way. And there are people that have done the exact same thing that Lot did, and they go down into Sodom, spiritually speaking, Sodom and Gomorrah, because they got a job promotion, because they became the vice president of the company, and they literally vex their righteous soul. They lose their own family because they are out after the almighty buck. I tell you, the fear of the Lord is more important than you having a huge retirement, you being able to take a vacation to Europe every single time that you want to, and you being able to do all of these things. There ought to be things that are much more important to us than just our financial situation or whether or not we're going to gain an award or get a promotion in our job and make our ego feel good. The fear of the Lord should trump all of these things. And if we truly had a fear of the Lord, it would cause us to depart from evil. It would restrain our actions. We would evaluate things differently. There's things more important than your finances, your family, your relationships, your church, the people that you surround yourself with. The influence of other people is probably the single most important thing in your life, is the people you surround yourself with. And there are many of you that that's not even a priority. It's because you don't have a fear of the Lord. Again, I refer back to those scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, about don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. What fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial, or he that believes with an infidel? You have these promises. Come out and now perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. We need to evaluate God's opinion. We ought to want His favor and His promotion more than we want physical promotion and financial benefit. You know, these are simple things, and at a heart level, every person watching me knows that what I'm saying is true. And yet at a functional level, most people ignore this. They don't let the fear of the Lord dominate them, but they let the love of money, the lust for what it can produce, fame, recognition, dominate. And I'm telling you, you're making a huge mistake. The fear of the Lord ought to be what drives our life, and it will cause you to depart from evil. Isn't that simple? Man, those are powerful, powerful truths. I'm out of time today, and tomorrow is going to be my last day that I teach on the fear of the Lord. So I encourage you to listen in tomorrow, and also I encourage you to get these materials. We're drawing to a close on this. This is a brand new teaching that I've got out. I think it would transform your life. I know it would help you, and I know that every one of you have people that you say, man, somebody I know needs to hear this. Well, you could be that messenger. I encourage you to listen to our announcer. He's going to give you some information, and then call or write and receive these materials today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled The Fear of the Lord was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled No Want or Lack, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Houston, Texas this week for a Gospel Truth seminar February 9th through the 11th, in Humble, Texas on Sunday, February 12th, in Seattle, Washington for a Gospel Truth rally February 17th, in Portland, Oregon for a Gospel Truth rally February 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Caris Bible College campus days March 14th through the 16th. He'll also be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth seminar March 29th through the 31st, in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth seminar April 12th through the 14th, and in Colorado Springs for the Better Way to Worship Conference April 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
If God asked you to leave your comfortable lifestyle, move to one of the most violent parts of the world, and be a living example of His love and grace, would you say yes? Meet world changer Dennis Stauffer, CBC graduate, class of 2006. Dennis answered God's call on his life, attended Caris Bible College, and moved to an area of Guatemala where even the police were afraid to go. In just 3 short years of practical ministry, the truth that Dennis learned at CBC has literally transformed this part of Guatemala. Lives have been changed, crime and violence have decreased, and police have returned to the area. CBC graduate Dennis Stauffer, he's changing lives in Guatemala. Change your life. Change the world. Log on to CarisBibleCollege.org for more information on how you can become a world changer. Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries. Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles, and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net.